Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here as always.
Hey.
And we're also joined by Jeremy. How are you?
Pretty good.
And Mr. T is back. How are you, man?
All right.
Yeah.
We'll take that as a going perfect. Yeah. Well, this worked out really well. We ran into Mr. T at a bar and we're like, hey, after we're done drinking, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going over to your house to make a podcast.
Yeah.
And we're like, you are a man after my own heart. Yeah, so yeah. It's solid. Today we're going to talk about 12 Years a Slave, directed by
Steve McQueen. Not like a resurrected Steve McQueen, the actor who did all the racing stuff and like Bullet, but
yes.
He's still a British director who did Shame and Hunger. And did he have a third movie? Or is this his third movie?
This is his third one.
Okay, yeah, this is his third movie. And I don't know what he's doing next. But well, he's fantastic.
It was fantastic. And I don't know, when I went into this, I was thinking 12 Years a Slave, it's, you know, whenever you talk about like slavery in the United States with such a sordid history, there are concerns I feel like when I'm watching a movie of such subject matter. And if you think about miniseries, like think about Roots, and then think about like Amistad, right? And I was like, okay, so Amistad and Roots have things going for them. I think sometimes Amistad can almost get thrown into like the too cheesy realm. Sometimes it's Spielberg.
Yeah. He's pulling for your heartstrings. Yeah.
Did you have any like preconceived notions about going into this movie, Mr. T?
Well, the only thing that I had that I was expecting, and this is just from reading press reviews, I knew that it was going to be a rough, intense movie, and that there weren't going to be any punches pulled.
Yeah,
and that expectation lined up with reality. Yeah. So yeah, I guess we'll talk about that in a little bit, but that was the expectation I had.
Yeah, man. I think that's what we all read. Like when you saw it, was like, just get ready for kind of like a grueling movie experience. Like it's going to move you, but you're going to see some things that just make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll talk about that. Yeah, well, that's going to be a good point, I think. That's going to be a good point. But Sam, why don't you give us the synopsis? Because this movie is fairly recent. It's going to be – it's heavy Oscar buzz even before it came out.
Yeah, and the story itself, like the arc, isn't super complicated.
Right.
Like new characters or anything like that. Basically, it's about it's based on a true story by a slave whose name was Solomon Northrop.
Mm-hmm.
He was born a free man in the North, and basically he kind of got tricked into the South. And once he entered the South, they basically said, "You're not Solomon Northrop." I don't remember what they called him.
Well, no, they just said, "Your name is Boy" or something like that.
Yeah, they're like, "Your name is like
you don't have a name," which I think was part of them just trying to be like, "No, just forget it. You're fucked."
Yeah.
He had a nickname throughout the movie.
Yeah, he did. I don't remember.
Do you remember his nickname, Mr. T?
I don't remember.
Yeah, and it's not showing up on like the IMDb because
they might.
His name is Solomon Northrop. Anyway, well,
and he didn't want to tell them their name at some point too. Yeah.
Well, that's the beginning, and then he.
He was at the very beginning. Once he's trapped in the South, he's like, "Hey, I'm Solomon Northrop. I'm a free man. You've got the wrong guy or something." But he doesn't understand his own situation in which that he's basically been tricked into becoming a slave in the South. And the story kind of goes through his life as a slave for 12 years, and then at the very end he kind of comes into some good graces and returns to the North. But like the journey that he experiences, despite the fact not being super varied or exciting, and that he goes to like lots of different worlds or anything like that, is harrowing and just like so impressive.
Yeah, it's like watching him go through 7 different levels of hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but especially that last plantation that he went to in northern Louisiana, the one run by Michael Fassbender's character.
Yeah, Michael Fassbender plays a...
Epps.
Yeah.
Old man Epps, mean bastard.
Yeah.
But, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's really intense. Yeah.
I would almost say it's kind of a... I would say Mel Gibson-esque. In its level of violence and its willingness not to
shy away from that.
Oh, for sure.
So I think it was absolutely appropriate from Steve McQueen.
Well, and it's one of those things. When we were watching the movie and you see like where they are and like the scenery, you feel like you're in a musky swamp.
Yeah,
you feel like it's gross and hot.
We were guessing that it was shot in like the bayou area, like maybe Louisiana, and I think. I read somewhere that it was.
No, they did shoot in Louisiana. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. And they have all those preserved mansions around there, the plantations and stuff that I've visited many times when I was in Louisiana, because whenever someone comes to visit you in Louisiana, there's nothing else to do but go look at all these old plantations.
Oh, okay.
All the plantations look pretty authentic.
They are, yeah. And they keep up, the restoration societies of all those different like parishes really keep a good job with keeping them up. And, you know, even go seeing like some of the old slave quarters and things like that is pretty terrible, but they're still up there. Yeah. So, so this movie, that's, I mean, what Sam said right there is basically the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, this movie is so much more. So I was thinking we do what we usually do, which would be like favorite thing in general.
Favorite scene.
Favorite scene, favorite performance.
Okay.
And then
most out of place performance.
And most, and we'll do like a most out of place because
there's
everyone, one. Everyone, well, everyone has a couple different things. So we'll do best scene, what they did, what we liked in general, right? And best performance, an actor you thought that performed the least, which is not saying a lot. Right, most of them did a fairly good job.
Yeah,
and maybe something that they you didn't like. 99% of the cast. So, you know what, Mr. T, the guest of honor,
start with Mr. T.
How about we do? We'll go macro. So we'll start what you liked in general with the movie.
Well, that's a really hard question to answer because I thought that every aspect of the production was just so extremely well done. When it comes to the cinematography, the performances, for the most part, and the the ability to capture an era, because you look through the way that people are dressed, the types of words that they use, the affectation that's in their language, the way the plantations look, just the general look of the movie. Everything looks like it was extremely well researched.
Yeah,
and that it is just a, it's an immersive experience. You feel as if you are with this character in that moment with him. And it's almost shot in kind of a documentary style, just very matter-of-factly, no frills with the way the camera works. So to choose one aspect of the production is very hard, but to me, one of the standout things was I just really loved the set design and the costuming, and coupled with the documentary style approach, it was just a very engrossing experience. There was not a moment during the movie. And like you said, guys, there it the plot would seem like it would lend itself to being trite.
Or just kind of like slow and kind of like almost boring. Because, again, he's basically experiencing all of this stuff that, you know, anyone who has who studied a history of, you know, our nation is familiar with. But the way that Steve McQueen handles it makes it very... I don't know what the best word would be. I guess.
I mean, you're there. You're there with that character. Yeah. You feel like you're experiencing everything that he is.
Yeah.
And the character is just so compelling.
Yeah.
Because here's a guy that's doing what he would normally do. He would play a show. He's trying to support his family, and then he's thrown into this terrible set of circumstances.
Yeah, we didn't mention the Solomon Northrup was a musician before. So that's kind of how he got tricked. They said that he was going to have like a new opportunity to play all these shows, and then these men kind of forced him into the South.
So yeah, I think it's that you are there. Here is what's going on. Approach that was used by the production company. I thought that was extremely well done.
Yeah,
very cool. I do agree with that. That was a really solid. Like I think if you start right, the way you see him get captured, it's almost watching like just like an accident, like right before your eyes in slow motion.
Yeah.
For like an hour and a half because you know what's going to happen next. But let's hear it from Jeremy. So what do you think, man?
I think overall the thing that I liked the most was, I guess, just the directing in general. Yeah. And how they kept going back to flashbacks. And I thought the transitions were all very well done.
Yeah. As far as like a whole thing, I mean, that was... I might just piggyback off of Jeremy on that one, but like the direction was top notch, I thought. Yeah, but let's hear it from you, Sam.
I am piggybacking off of both Mr. T and Jeremy because the main thing that I enjoyed so much, apart from just the content of the story, is how much Steve McQueen has kind of improved as a director. Mm-hmm. Not to say that he was bad before, because he was fantastic before,
right.
But that he showed so much more diversity and skill and restraint in 12 Years a Slave than he did in Shame, which is also a great movie. But like the way that he handles 12 Years a Slave is so appropriate and nuanced that nothing seems like contrived or tried or like mundane. Mm-hmm. Everything is innovative and fresh, despite the fact that it's all kind of familiar territory.
Yeah. Like, I guess I don't know what I'm. You know, we'll talk about. Specifically, what I liked about this movie is 2 hours and 10 minutes or 2 hours and 20 minutes? It's over 2 hours, I believe.
It is over 2 hours.
It's fairly long, right?
It's 134 minutes, so 2 hours.
So it's just 2 hours 14 minutes, okay? But when we got out of that movie theater and we were all hanging out right outside, I think I turned to Mr. T and I was like, "Hey, man, that movie felt like an hour and a half."
Yeah, it moves.
And like the way I thought about the plot. And the way it all happens, like, you're exhausted from watching his journey, but you could also, like, it doesn't feel like time has passed at all when you're watching the movie.
Yeah.
Which is very seldom in movies, especially like this, when you have, a subject matter that doesn't really change a lot. You're just following this guy's journey.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think I was more bored as far as, like, it's kind of like the same thing when I was watching Django Unchained than when I was watching this.
Yeah.
Right? When the Django Unchained feels like a two-hour-plus movie, this movie felt so quickly. And I guess the thing I was thinking of is, like, not only is it a quick pace, but all the shots that we watched, not a scene is wasted.
Yeah.
One shot is wasted.
I think it's, to that end, like, I agree about Django, because Django's, a fantastic movie, but you kind of know what the storyline's going to be. It's Tarantino. It's a revenge flick, so you can kind of understand the path of what's going to happen. With this movie, I mean, yeah, it's a story about slavery, but you feel the danger and, like, the amount of inconsistency that character can experience, because you don't know what's going to happen next. He's put into the situation where he trusts that indentured servant,
the
sharecropper that betrays him, and you don't know if Michael Fassbender's character is just going to gut him right there. Like, it's that visceral, you know. Yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned that this is something that just occurred to me, but, you know, there is that documentary style quality to it where you are immersed in that world and you are following that character. And the pace, yes, it's a 2 hour and 14 minute movie and it's brisk and you never want to avert your eyes, but there is a lyricism about all the shots that Steve McQueen uses.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a beauty in, you know, the way he sets up a situation.
I agree. Like he will build things kind of slowly to a maximum, and then he'll have like a dropping off point where like some of the pacing changes a little bit, so to give the viewer relief, and then he'll bring it back up again, because there's no point during Solomon Northrup's 12 years in which he was like safe, you know. So it kind of it had like that cyclical feel of being like, oh, there's going to be a lot of trouble, and then now we're okay for a little bit, and then, you know.
And just like the nature of his like his terrible 12 years, but going from Benedict Cumberbatch's first plantation,
in which he was kind of treated nicely,
there's a lot of ironic scenes in there as well. Right. Yeah. But it's like, really is like your master, he's really not your friend, right? So it's like when you see that, and then it's like, and you think that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
and then
that, it just that gets is worse, bad.
Right?
Yeah, it gets
and so it's
significantly
just,
worse.
The Fassbender story itself is good, but like the shots and, you know, like how the directing is going back to Jeremy's point is just like fantastic. But those are all very good things, but we're gonna shrink it down.
Yeah.
Do you guys wanna do best performance or best scene first? It's up to you, Mr. T. I'll let you do it when you take the mic.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's hard to choose what the best performance would be.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't remember the name of the actor that played Salman Northrup.
His name is Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to pronounce.
You know, I think he's easily a contender for best actor in the Golden Globes and for the Academy Awards. I think that Michael Fassbender playing Epps.
I didn't recognize that was Michael Fassbender until like an hour after he had like first screened. Yeah, it took me a long time.
I mean, he was
he's completely transformed.
He's a sadistic son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, another person that I thought did just an extremely good job was the Nigerian actress that played Patsy. So it's hard to choose which.
She did a great job.
And if I had to choose anyone right now, I would have to go with that actress because I just thought that was extremely powerful. And, you know, she doesn't even utter a word, and you can sense the utter despair or the tremendous despair that she has with the situation she's encountering with Epps and just all what her life is like. And I would have to choose her.
Choice.
That actress.
That's
is
a very solid
that
choice.
Actress's name is Lupita Nyong'o.
She was in The Constant Gardener.
Yeah,
she'll
be nominated too for.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really solid pick.
She was fantastic.
Do you think your pick has anything to do with the fact that you wouldn't expect such a powerful performance from a character like this in a movie?
Well, perhaps, you know, a lot of these type of roles are underwritten, and here you're able to see this character in a more multidimensional.
Yeah,
viewpoint.
Yeah, she's almost like a main character, especially after
once you get into the third act and plantation. That's when you think, and I think what they did with that was really cool was they had a certain, you know, you're always on Northrop, right? You're always watching his struggles, and you have kind of like one character that you see throughout the movie that kind of represents a certain group of people. So you're gonna have like Epps, you're gonna have Benedict Cumberbatch, you're gonna have like the
almost
the
like
wives,
archetypal,
right?
Yeah.
And then you're gonna have and that girl basically is like his only constant contact with someone as far as like in the slave community that he's actually fairly close to.
Yeah.
That you see in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's
a special relationship there that makes it all the more potent, I feel like.
Yeah. Especially the end.
Yeah, I think it was her performance was breathtaking.
Yeah. She did a fantastic job.
That was a really good performance. All right, so let's hear from Jeremy. So we have Lupita on Mr. T's side. Let's hear what you have to say.
I'm going
to
say my favorite performance was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
And I guess that's because of probably the nature of his character also. He's like a character who's basically, he seems like he's against slavery, but just based on the time that he lives in, he has slaves.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I like how he played the like kind of conflicting view of
his character is definitely like internally conflicted with how he has to kind of maintain his own life
and how he treats the slaves in general.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the people who work for him.
Yeah.
Paul Dano and
God, thank you for bringing that up. I didn't think about that.
It's so easy to hate him.
I have a couple things to think about so Benedict Cumberbatch. Anything particularly striking, just like the conflicts within himself, is that what you think?
Right, and I guess the conflict in between himself and I guess after all the Paul Dano stuff happens. And how the main or Solomon Northrop is he lets him into his house.
Right.
It's basically I love the line where he goes, I'm gonna give you two Epps, even though I don't want you to.
And he's basically there at that moment as Solomon Northrop's protector because I mean he has a shotgun and he's ready to kill Paul Dano.
At the same time he's also protecting his property.
That's true, yeah. Uh-huh. So he has also a property right
so there. So it's a property thing, which is extremely fucked up in the whole scheme of things, which is something that I liked in general about.
It's weird
for such
a minor character of like such a big internal struggle.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I think that the tragedy about Benedict Cumberbatch's character is the fact that a man who is so against it crumbles so easily to the social and cultural externalities surrounding his plantation.
Yeah.
Because it makes it, and it almost makes it all the more despicable.
Yeah.
For a person to be like, oh man, I can't believe I'm fucking doing this, but he has really no problem doing it because it's his own skin. Yeah. Do you have any further thoughts on that, Mr. T?
I mean, he's almost a Jeffersonian character.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah. That's what his purpose is.
I mean, because there's an interesting juxtaposition here. He goes and I thought there's the shots of all of the slaves working, and then it cuts to him preaching a Sunday sermon.
Yeah.
And he's preaching, you know, the gospel, and of course the gospel is of course liberation from sin, and of course, you know, he's probably the most
sinful person,
but a hypocritical person to be standing there saying those words to these people who will never see freedom.
Yeah.
But for being a plantation owner also at that time period, in order of, say, like, economically
viable,
then he would have had to have slaves.
That's true. Yeah. Unless you decide to just keep on getting sharecroppers.
Yeah, or, you know, pick up a different industry.
Which would be unheard of.
That would be really, yeah.
That's an interesting, I think he's a great anomaly. So,
yeah.
And he was, like, the first one you see, too, as far as, like, a slave owner.
And that's how I imagine, like, a lot of slave owners at that time
would
have been. Maybe not, probably just against the violence.
Oh, against the violence, but not so much, like, and that's essentially what it was. It was, like, they're your property and just, like, workhorses. Yeah, I think it's raining outside.
Yeah, it is raining.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a solid performance from Sherlock Holmes, I must say.
Great job, BBC.
Okay, what you got, Sam?
My favorite performance was from Chiwetel Ejiofor. I initially, like, I saw him in, like, the trailers and stuff. Yeah. He looked familiar. And it's because he plays kind of like a bad guy character in Children of Men.
Okay.
He's the guy that kind of, like, gets everyone together and gets them to go out to the farm and stuff. That's the other podcast. You should watch that one later. I thought Chiwetel Ejiofor did a fantastic job. He really brought out so many different aspects of what it meant to be a slave, and a slave in his situation of an individual who was born originally a free man, and kind of made it seem like you could understand all of the different aspects of what you know, slaves in that time must have had to had to endure, without seeming like kind of like cheesy or kind of off the wall. You know?
Right. No, that's a solid performance. I think that's the hand, you know, just to watch him throughout the whole movie. Yeah. It's just a treat. But yeah, he's definitely going to get a lot of nods from, you know, BAFTA and all that, I think. Because this is a British production as well. It's Brad Pitt and a British company, right?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. Well, that's I think I'm going to go different with mine, too. Like, everyone has a different favorite performance, which is solid. And putting Mr. T on notice, because we're going to have to think of a good scene, your favorite scene next. Okay. But, like...
I have my favorite scene.
I think I was going to go with Michael Fassbender, who is amazing, I think.
He's fantastic.
Because he's, like... He's almost like, you know, like... I was just thinking about him sitting, like, when he's making the slaves dance. Remember that? And there's two scenes of that happening, right? But I'm not gonna choose him. I'm gonna choose his wife, who I thought was just a crazy mean bitch.
Oh yeah, she was. But she's evil incarnate.
They did a good job of capturing
her being cold, and it's like, and the only problem I have, the only reservation I have about picking her as my favorite performance, is the fact that she didn't have too much screen time.
No, she's not in it a whole lot.
But I feel like that was... Because that character itself is something that makes Fassbender's characters turn as well, right?
Well, yeah, she's the driving force for him.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's just kind of like the vile nature of her being just in front of the slaves and around them. It's that's the ultimate. I feel like Fassbender's character was more like, it's us, and then there's them.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. I don't really care. I just know that's it. And then she's the one who's like, no, this is really why we are way better. Like, we will always be supreme, right? That's like the ultimate evil in the movie, I think, was her. And she did a really good job conveying that, what Jeremy said, just like, just being that way for the amount. She packs a punch, I feel like.
But it's more, I feel like with her character, it's more jealousy.
That's true.
Driving her than anything.
That is very true. And then you see, I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, there's a good conflict between him and the Patsy character. But I thought she was good. I thought Michael Fassbender was great, but I'll just pick her as well.
Yeah, no, I agree.
She was Sarah Paulson, by the way, who's been in a couple things that we've seen. You'll recognize her face if you see her in other movies.
Yeah, she was in Mud.
She was definitely in Mud.
What Women Want.
Oh my God.
Those are two.
But Mud is another great movie.
For.
You guys should watch Mud. Anyway.
And What Women Want.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay, Mr. T, we're going to talk about your favorite scene, and then we'll go to the bad stuff. We'll do a macro bad and then a bad performance.
Okay.
Favorite scene sound good, though? Let's kick it off.
Well, there are so many powerful scenes in here, but the one that really sticks out in my mind's eye was the one where Solomon Northrop is first captured out of D.C.
Yeah.
And he's taken to a slave shop. That's the only thing that I can think of, for lack of a better term. Right? He's in there. And Paul Giamatti, who only has 5 minutes worth of screen time and who is very good in that role, when you see the camera just kind of pan around, and you see Paul Giamatti as the, I guess, the salesman, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, he's not even an auctioneer. He's just like a broker. Yeah, he's a broker. Yeah.
It's just, that was just so jaw-dropping for me, because he's talking about these human beings like, you know, automobiles or, you know,
basically,
carriages
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He
walks around with his cane and makes that kid like
hop up.
Step, yeah.
And then, you know, and then he talks about their physical attributes or whatever and how they'll do well in the fields. I just thought that was pretty arresting.
Yeah.
That was I think that scene, Mr. T, is like right when reality sets in for the viewers and for Northrop. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't. Because I mean, great, like, job at setting the tone.
He's on the boat. It's kind of like in the boat. It's pretty scary. But it's like you're still kind of freaking out. He's still kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, and then that's when you know.
Yeah.
What do you have to say, Jeremy?
About that scene.
And your favorite scene. Let's hear it. Anything about that scene?
I mean, like, I like that scene.
Yeah.
But I feel like. No, like, Paul Giamatti did a good job. He just had a really low amount of screen time.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So it wasn't...
That's not your favorite scene, but what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene would be when they left Solomon Northrop hanging after Paul Dano hung him up, and they just have a really long shot.
Yeah, this is actually
for 1 minute hanging, and all the other slaves.
Just it's not just that he's hanging. It's that's actually become like a famous scene from the movie, because it's also in the book. It's a scene in which he's being hung, but he's not like off the ground. He has like tiptoe on the ground.
He's teetering on his toes to stay alive.
And you can see like all the slaves just going about their business. Like that's not a big deal.
Great fucking shot.
Yeah,
though.
It
was terrifying.
Yeah.
Because that's his first brush with death on the plantation.
Yeah, that's his first serious brush with like going to like get killed.
Yeah.
Or like they, yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was great directing also on how they narrowed in on him. But kept seeing these slaves in the background.
Doing their work. Yeah.
Doing the work.
It was a very solid scene.
Yeah, I agree.
Sam?
Man, I was going to say that one actually. But if I had to choose a second one, I don't know. I liked some of the imagery shots. Like, I think I mentioned this after the movie, but one of my favorite shots of the movie was the part where Solomon Northrop has like a letter written and he's going to send it out, and he gets betrayed, and then he has to find a way to destroy it. So he goes out into the woods and he sets it on fire, and the camera zooms in just on the blackness of it burning. And it focuses until it burns out, and you just see like the embers of the page go out. And that was like visually, that was a excellent indicator that it's almost to the point like the viewer would imagine at that point that Solomon Northrop has given into despair and that he's just like
forever
done
going
for
to be a slave.
You know, but we find that, you know, he doesn't. But yeah, that was just a really, really memorable shot for me.
That was a good shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with my shot being when Epps makes Northrop whip Patsy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like not like a, oh, that was such a good scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird saying that's my favorite scene.
Yeah.
But there's an implication that happened earlier on in the movie of that he wouldn't have been in that spot if something had happened. He had a choice to do something.
Yeah.
And then this is what happens now, right?
With the whipping.
Yeah. And there's actually one smaller scene when he comes back from being sent out to that other guy's plantation. He comes back and sees Patsy with the red eye, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the scenes like, look at, this is what happened because of your choice,
right?
Yeah. That's a lot of like the theme to the movie. It's
just
that it's consequences of...
Yeah,
the same thing as like him being tricked into
that's
going
true.
Into this out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that scene is powerful because you have all those people. You have Epps, you have Epps' wife, and you know, it's just it's a nasty scene. You don't want to watch it. Yeah. Right. But it's very powerful at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And
it's something you don't want to watch, but
you expect it out of a movie like this, I think. Yeah. You would have to. It's not like a consummate whipping scene, but it's like you're gonna see that in one of these movies just to let you know how terrible it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought his wife did a great job in that.
That's why I think she really stuck out, right? Yeah. She's like the nagging presence all the way throughout. She's
a demon. Kind of the wife behind the powerful man that really pulls the strings, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And kind of on the ancillary, I guess the secondary scene that I really that kind of just jumped at me is I remember when they're introducing Michael Fassbender's character Epps, and he's reading from some Old Testament verse, and
he said,
he said there will be stripes.
Yeah, that was
that's scripture.
Yeah, that's one of his earliest things that he says in the movie is basically that like this is not like Benedict Cumberbatch's plantation.
It's old New Testament to Old Testament, man.
Yeah. He means business.
That was a solid scene. Yeah. And it was well done. I'm gonna let's bring it back to let's do the two things together. We'll do worst performance and why, and something that maybe you didn't like generally. And this, I'm gonna try to think of things I didn't like generally.
Yeah.
But worst performance, Mr. T. I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Well, I think we're kind of on the same page on this one. But this was, as I think you mentioned, Andy, this was a production by Brad Pitt's Plan B production company.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that Brad Pitt was going to be in this. And he makes an appearance as a traveling carpenter who does not agree with the institution of slavery. And in the movie, he basically hears Solomon's story and takes some action to maybe notify the authorities. But the problem in the movie I had was with Brad Pitt, because everybody, you recognize Paul Giamatti, you recognize Michael Fassbender and some of these other characters, but they're people who evaporate into the character.
Yeah.
So you no longer see them as Michael Fassbender.
Yeah,
they're playing their character.
Yeah.
Whereas Brad Pitt's, he doesn't have that type of capability.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
And, you see him, and he's using the same voice that he used for his character in Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's not. It's just really off-putting. And so every time he's in the movie,
it really sticks out.
And it detracts from that sense of you are there realism that I think the director was trying to get.
Yeah.
I don't know why he was chosen. Well, probably because it was
his production company.
And I'm going to be in the movie. But I think that was a weak performance.
Kind of a misstep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really the one part of the film that I think was very weak.
Yeah.
And, Brad Pitt's only in the movie for only 10 minutes.
Yeah, maybe 10 minutes, yeah.
But that's the only negative thing I would have to say about the film. Otherwise, I think it's probably one of the finest films I've seen this year, if not the finest film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
Jeremy?
Would you think this, so that's just like your, in general, the weakest performance and like the worst part of the movie put together? That's the Brad Pitt scene?
Yeah, undoubtedly, because every aspect of the movie is there's such an attention to detail and making the actors become the character.
Yes.
And even Paul Dano, because normally I don't like Paul Dano
likes Paul Dano.
he has that
way of delivering his words and just like his facial, just everything about how he acts.
He's acting. He's not becoming the character.
Yeah, you can really tell that it's just him doing stuff. Like he's just in the movie portraying a character instead of becoming the character that, Michael Fassbender did an amazing job. Everyone did a fantastic job.
Right, and even Paul Dano, I can forgive his...
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he did a better job of encapsulating or becoming that asshole.
Yes.
But Brad Pitt, it was a league's difference.
Yeah. It was very...
I don't think anyone can argue with that.
Yeah.
But Jeremy, that's your weakest performance, and if you have something you didn't like in general.
I think everyone's going to say the same, but I'll just say instead Paul Dano, but that's more that is more because of his character was so one-dimensional.
It was just overacting.
That's true,
overacting the entire time, and he showed no depth.
I just think he's shitty. Yeah, I think he's a shitty actor.
It seemed like his character was just a shitty person, and there was no internal struggle.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, he's basically just like Abers. Like, he's just a terrible person who doesn't care about anything.
Right. Yeah. I feel like another actor could have portrayed that.
Everything is so petty with him, too. Yeah, yeah. I think a different actor could have made him at least more interesting.
Right.
Because, like, every time you see him on screen, it's like, well, he's going to be a jerk.
And he's going to be like the crazy. When he went crazy in There Will Be Blood, he's going to do the same thing here.
Exactly.
Same
thing.
Like, he's not. It's just, you knew that he would go crazy.
And, it's just kind of like, it felt like, well, he was typecast in a sense. They know that he's going to do that.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a good thing. I feel like, think about all these other characters that Mr. T talked about, and you have all these characters that melded in with their roles, right?
Right.
And with this one, it was just kind of like, there's no restraint. And I understand this character doesn't have any restraint, but I feel like, and it's easier said than done. Here I am talking about it.
It's like Michael Fassbender was a kind of an evil character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you could still, he still had depth to him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's a bad guy, but like he's more complex than just being, well, it's Michael Fassbender. He's going to like just whip people and punch him in the face. Like that's not what his character was about.
He'll fuck him as well. That's the difference.
He's much more sinister. Yeah, he's much more sinister than just being a bad guy.
Yeah.
And he still felt emotion towards slaves, even though he acted.
That is true. Yeah.
He had different opinions about different slaves. It's just like Paul Dano thought every slave.
He was a simpleton. That's what he was.
He's a simpleton. Yeah.
But I mean, as a character, then the question is it character or is it just a shitty actor? And I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's probably little bit of both.
That's a solid pick. Anything in general that you didn't like?
Oh, and I guess I felt like the first torture scene was really forced. That would have been my
the one in DC.
Favorite. When he's getting whipped by the unnamed people right after, it's like
he's in a safe house in DC.
He's in a safe house in DC.
Yeah, like the opposite of a safe house.
Yeah, those
play really like sentimental music.
Yeah.
In the background, and it seemed out of place for a beginning. I would have rather have had
straight to the south.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just
on the boat.
I guess elevation of those type of scenes beforehand.
Oh, sure, so, sure. And you know, that's the general consensus was sometimes people really thought about the music as kind of being like out of place. I think the only time that it was out of place for me was right at the beginning when Jeremy's talking about it.
Yeah, I agree. That was kind of weird to start bringing it in that early.
And we felt nothing for the character at that point.
That's true.
It's just for shock value.
Hans Zimmer wanted you to feel for him.
Yeah. Hans Zimmer's trying real hard.
Hans Zimmer, man. Yeah. He's just like, I just wrote this piece thinking about a black guy being hit with a board.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, okay. And I think it was one of those things that they tried to make it into like a, before going to the South, it's kind of like, here's the reality check, man. This is what it is. Yeah. But that one didn't work out as well. There are other scenes that have maybe less violence, it is still more jarring.
Yeah, definitely.
But, that's a good point.
Just the Paul Dano thing when he's brokering off the slaves.
That's true.
And now,
the Paul Giamatti bit.
Like
Paul Giamatti, sorry, Paul
Giamatti. Specifically for shock value.
Yeah.
Sure, they put it in there.
Yeah.
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 Okay, well, that's actually a solid point.
Yeah.
Let's hear it from you, Sam.
Mine is the same as Mr. T's. I just really dislike Brad Pitt and whenever he showed up. He's also not only did he just seem kind of weird and forced, but his makeup looked odd. Like his they all have beards and they're all scraggly, but his beard looked perfect, like cut. Like someone took scissors and just cut up one of those crappy beards you can get at Hobby Lobby and taped it onto his face.
He's quite a GQ carpenter. Like moving around.
Yeah, he looked really
weird.
He's
a troubadour.
He looked completely just like, I don't know, the way he looked just did not work for me.
Well, I think I mentioned to you fellas after the film that I thought he had highlights in his hair.
I think he still has the highlights in his hair from before. It's like no one is a dirty blonde like that.
Yeah.
Where not, you have like perfect.
Who's dirty blonde on your beard like that, too?
Yeah.
It was like he had perfect beard highlights. Yeah. No.
Yeah, he was just not effective, and like the tone that like I'm glad that Steve McQueen kind of reined it in, because if Brad Pitt had more screen time, that would have completely ruined the tone.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah.
Is that like your duel? Like
yeah. That was just garbage.
Okay. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Okay. But Brad Pitt and Paul Dano was actually a close second. But the Brad Pitt thing, so the Paul Dano thing, I think you hate his character and I hate him as an actor, right? But like the story bit where he's part of, like that character needs to be a character like that. And you need a character like Brad Pitt's character to someone needs to go up north and tell them all the atrocity that's happened in Northup, right?
Yeah.
But Brad Pitt's character, it seemed out of place.
It's the way, like, it's executed,
the way
is
he's
terrible.
There is just Brad Pitt. It's almost, you know, when Mr. T talks about the thing, like the roles, everyone thinks it's like, oh, it's a cameo.
Yeah.
It's not, and it's like a cameo appearance for the sake of a cameo.
Yeah,
almost.
I thought it was legit just going to be someone who disagrees and can be disagreeable with Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Because Brad Pitt is a carpenter. He's not beholden to Michael Fassbender in any way. He could punch him square in the face and then walk away. It wouldn't be a big deal. But I thought that's what he was there for. But then they made him integral, kind of.
Yeah, and he's the he's doing the Apache guy from Inglourious Basterds again.
Yeah.
Just in white clothes.
Who I loved in Inglourious Basterds, but is completely out of place and terrible in 12 Years a Slave. Yeah.
They try and make it that he's friendly with, like, Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Like they were
they're almost
good
equals.
Friends.
They're almost equals.
Which that I think that is what seen Moat style plates first character. I didn't actually mind Brad Pitt's
terrible
at all.
It was out of the mood of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing too, I mean, I mentioned before all the actors that were cast, with maybe with the exception of Paul Dano and Brad Pitt, they seem like people who would look like people in that era.
I don't think.
I mean, maybe I'm completely off base here, but people don't look like Brad Pitt in the 19th century America.
Sure, sure.
You know?
No, I agree with you on that one, but it's just hard to say. Like, maybe the transition was off. You know, from like here he's the shitty 12 years, right, and then he's just building it with this guy and the jolly Canadian. Mm-hmm. Who just travels from plantation to plantation, and it very well could be that this was the guy who
yeah,
it's just their debate that he was just strictly against slavery too.
Oh, the forcefully is like, you know what, they're gonna come and get you, Epps, like your time's coming where these guys are gonna be free,
right?
And it's like, oh, why the fuck did you have to go on and say that?
Yeah,
right. Like, I don't know, sometimes his character serves a purpose, but it's not quite heavy-handed, but I think they could have gotten a better actor to do the job.
Yeah, the execution was just not there. He made it seem almost corny. Like, his positions seemed corny in comparison to everything around him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost too contemporary for a period piece like this.
The progressive Canadian.
Yeah.
That's a true point. That it sounds like how people have argued right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like people in the audience are supposed to be like, finally someone gets it right.
Yeah. But representing, like, all of us. And it's like, well, yeah, but
you've gone for 2 hours without meeting one fucking person like that at all. Right.
It's like Abraham Lincoln didn't even have that strong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. No. He's just like, we should just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I didn't think this would be that big of a deal.
But I think maybe, and that's a dual point, and Jeremy's point about that the first scene, I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
Overall, let's talk about 10-point scale and why. And should they go see it? Should they rent it? What should they do, Mr. T?
Well, I think I'm going to give this movie an 8.5.
All right.
Nice. Yeah, I would even go as far as a 9.
Okay.
Because I enjoyed the movie that much, and I thought it was that well done. Yeah, 8.5 to 9, and I think it's a very powerful movie. Be forewarned, it is very violent, it's very graphic, and the performances in it are very intense, so just go with that in mind. I think probably a good comparison would be something like Schindler's List, or maybe, you know, Passion of the Christ, that type of level of violence, stylized violence.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that. But, you know, if you want to learn something about, you know, a story, I hadn't heard about the story prior to that.
The criticism with respect to Uncle Tom's Cabin was that this I think was published a little bit before Uncle Tom's Cabin, and no one really paid attention to it, and it was kind of short shrifted. And then Uncle Tom's Cabin came out, and then Lincoln kind of had that like support from it, and that's kind of what, like, Uncle Tom's Cabin did amazing, and it was really the thing that kind of led a lot of people to, you know, strive against slavery. But yeah, Solomon Northrup's story is, I think, much more meaningful in some ways.
Yeah. So anytime I go into a movie and I try and I learn something about our nation and about a person, a real life person that underwent these experiences, I always find that a very captivating movie to watch. And as we said before, I thought the casting overall was very good. you know, a few exceptions in there, but and the overall
one exception, maybe two.
But the overall movie was just a tremendous immersive experience, and I think that for anybody that is a movie or is a movie lover or just wants to see how this particular era of our nation's history was portrayed, I think this is a solid bet, and I'd go see it in the movie theater.
That's a solid rating, I think. Let's hear from you, Jeremy.
Jeremy?
I'm going to give it a 9 also.
Okay.
Because it's a great movie, mm-hmm. with great performances. It's also the only points of why it would not be a 10 is because there are a couple one-dimensional mm-hmm. characters in there spread out.
Yeah.
And I think they could have done more flashbacks to how his life was prior to slavery.
Yeah, that would
to
have
get
been,
more of a feel.
That would have been really interesting.
Because I didn't feel much for the main character, I guess.
Yeah,
right. Aside from the fact that it sucked.
Besides his situation.
Well, yeah, because you don't know who he is before.
You don't know how he's like, and basically most of the flashbacks were him.
Yeah.
Just being sold, and you don't know, was he a good person before?
I guess the assumption would be yes.
Yeah,
I guess mean, that's the assumption yeah. But you don't know what he's like.
He could be just a really pervy violin player.
Yeah, that's true.
He could have been a rapist, like someone else.
Great.
you got no idea.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, you've got quite the imagination, Jeremy. That's awesome.
You have no idea.
No, maybe that's why it was never a popular story. Like, in the story, he's like, and I was a rapist.
That's true.
That's awesome. Okay. All right. Let's hear.
That's good. That's actually amazing.
All right. I would give this movie a 9.5, and that's for two reasons. One, I thought it was better than Shame, which I would give a 9. And
right,
we haven't done that review or anything, but because Steve McQueen has matured so much as a director. I think everyone, with the exception of Paul Dano and Brad Pitt, did a fantastic job with their character. And they did a really good job at crafting a movie about slavery in our nation that didn't seem like preachy or too ham-fisted, apart from, you know, Brad Pitt's part. And that handled it in a really appropriate and kind of mature way. I just really like that. And also because it handled such a visceral topic, similar to Zero Dark Thirty, which mm-hmm. is kind of the movie that I was thinking about after watching this one. Not to compare the two, but, you know, like in terms of how like visceral the torture and violence was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd give that one a 9.5. And I would say this is as good. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
See
it in movie theaters.
See the movie. Yeah, I go see the movie.
Run a projector.
I'm gonna give it a 9 as well. I'm gonna give it a 9. Okay. I like the movie. We got 3 9s and a 9.5. It's a pretty solid. That's a fucking solid rating average. But like, if you think about movies that you've seen up until this point, I think the last time I was really engaged in a movie like this was probably Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
And the performances are so well done. I think we all had a hard time picking our favorite performer, and when you did pick the favorite performer, everyone had a different one, which I think is a good sign.
Yeah.
That's the true mark of a great. And, you know, usually we all pretty much think alike and who was the best. I mean, we all pretty much thought who was the worst, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it was a moving experience and you watch it. And I don't know if it's a movie you necessarily would be like, oh, I can't wait to go watch it again.
Yeah, it's kind of got that, like, Requiem for a Dream type of thing where it's like, well, man, I'm really glad that I saw it and I never want to see that again.
Yeah, but I would recommend it to friends and definitely go see it in theaters when you can, because it's definitely
I'm not sure if it's still in theaters now, though.
I'm sure it'll pop back up again once starts doing the Oscar run.
You're right.
So another solid review. Mr. T, what are you looking forward to for our next review?
Well, as you alluded to before, Andy, I'm looking to Scorsese's new film
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
And
for some reason is a comedy according to the Golden Globes. That makes sense.
Yeah. That's very strange.
Yeah, great.
But that's the only one that immediately comes to mind, and I look forward to doing some more of our flashback reviews in the springtime.
It's gonna be fun, man.
So maybe I can show you guys some Cronenberg films.
Yeah, should do Videodrome.
We'll have some fun times. Jeremy, you have anything off the top of your head you can't wait to see?
Well, American Hustle and Her.
Her.
The
yeah.
Spike Jones yeah. movie yeah. coming out would be the two that I most want to see right now.
Gotcha.
Cool.
And Sam?
I also agree with Her, partly because Spike Jonze did like a short movie about two robots falling in love. That was pretty fantastic, and I think that with one robot, yeah. with one robot, it'll be good too.
Good.
So that, and also Godzilla, because that looks totally fucking awesome.
That's great. Yeah, the trailer just dropped on that. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Anchorman 2.
It could be good.
Oh no,
we don't
it's
know.
Not
it could
be good.
We don't know. I love Will Ferrell, just not as Ron Burgundy. Ever.
It's gonna be. I'm really excited about Wolf of Wall Street. I like Scorsese a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know when it opens, but another one that just came to mind was was Dallas Buyers Club.
Dallas Buyers Club is out already, and
it's out already.
It's out, but I don't
it's
know.
In theaters.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gonna go general because it's limited right now. They do play it at a couple places, but it's very limited.
Fuck. You know what? I'll go pick one with Mr. T. I'm gonna say The Wind Rises.
Oh, yes!
I want that to
the
come
wind,
out.
Yeah. The Wind Rises.
Is going to be the last Ghibli movie from Hayao Miyazaki. It's dropping. It already dropped in the States limited, but I don't know where they're going to do wide.
And
Disney bought it, though.
I thought it was February that they're going to do it wide
so
in America.
I'm hoping we get to see it
yeah.
at premiere. Yeah. So if Dallas Buyers Club comes to your premiere, let's go see it. And same goes with Wind Rises.
I forgot about The Wind Rises. Wind Rises.
That was a great idea to me.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We want you to go see Clearly by our high ratings. We want you to see 12 Years a Slave and tell us what you think about it. And thanks for listening. Bye.